Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It normally airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. The show is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today, the hosts are me, Dominique, from Laytonville High School.
Kyrie Golden from Laytonville High School.
Sophie Giacha from Laytonville High School.
Today, our topic is a new year, the future. Here we are, 2016, a fresh start, a new opportunity. Will it be Sweet 16 or more of the same? 20th century people often made New Year's resolutions. They think about what they want to change in their lives and then commit to achieving that change. For many people, the resolution involved ending unhealthy practices like smoking or overeating. Some people chose character changes like being honest or volunteering and helping others.
In our age group, few people make New Year's resolutions. Some see it as preening and a fading cultural practice. However, during this call and part of the show, we would like to know if you make New Year's resolutions and how that has worked out for you. Is it a useful practice? Today we want to discuss how the future looks to us and how we think we might change it. To do that, we will need to talk about how the present appears to us. Today, traditionally, most high school students do not pay that much attention to news beyond family, friends, and the local community. Many young people rely on their parents for a perspective on what is happening beyond our local worlds. We do have some classes at school that cover public affairs, but few of us are news junkies at this stage in our lives. The shifting media that we choose to look at is often basically headlines at the top or bottom or sidebar of a screen. We do know that there are lots of details and opinions on current events available anytime we might want to look at them on the internet, but there are so many other items of interest on the web that some headlines or possibly repostings of stories and social media are what we tend to see. During the call-in part of the show, we would like to know how much you knew about public affairs when you were in high school and where you got that information.
As for our perception of the present, we know that we are still in a recovery mode from the recent youth tragedies in the Laytonville area. But generally, things seem pretty normal. Older people worry about changing weather patterns, perpetual war, terrorism, and an always shaky economy. We know that our privacy, if we ever had it, has been invaded in the name of security. We are aware of how natural resources we depend on are in danger. But on a practical level, we are not experiencing immediate hardships. Diminishing water supplies and the possibility of fires are threats we have all been aware of. We do not like our lives being based on fear. Fear of Islamic terrorism in Laytonville seems completely unlikely, as does foreign invasion. Yet our entire lives, our government has been at war in numerous places around the world. Some local youth have gone to fight in those wars, and some have not returned. Some of us sense that the media is instilling fear to maintain control, and this can make people avoid the news and not care about anything. We would like the future that is less fear-based. We would like a future where peace, not war, is the norm.
We are going to talk about our plans for our futures. These include Coast Guard Culinary School and a few more years of Laytonville High School. I have a plan to create a restaurant. Sometime in the future, Laytonville will have a skate park. We will have a new president in a year, so the future of the government we are living in under is subject to serious changes. The odds are that in the future we will each fall in love, maybe have children, travel to exotic places, and fulfill dreams that we have not yet had. We are young, and that is a great advantage when considering the future. Another topic we would like to discuss is who do the youth respect and why? Who do we model ourselves after and why? Our parents, people in authority positions like politicians, teachers, and police demand our respect. The various forms of media create characters for us to mirror. In our culture, those who have the most material wealth are often envied. Do they deserve our esteem? Should we try and be like them? We will discuss these topics for about 30 minutes. Then we will want you to call in and share your opinions. The phone number will be 707-456-9991. We will tell you when we want you to call. So let's start the show by talking about our hopes for the future and how we intend to achieve that.
All right.
Dommers, why don't you tell us about that restaurant you mentioned?
Well, I plan on, hopefully this year, within the next 2 weeks, going into independent study and getting some training in about 3 months to go into Coast Guard Academy, where I can get training as a food specialist. And then when I graduate, about a semester early, I will go out and hopefully open up my own restaurant.
So any reason in particular you chose to go to the Coast Guard, right?
Yes. actually, I have, in Laytonville High School, we have a culinary teacher. Her name's Lindsay Hansen, and she suggested the position to me because she thought I would be good for it. So I looked more into it and found out that I was actually a lot more interested in it than I thought I would be.
Do you have any favorite dishes to prepare?
One dish that I like to prepare, which I prepared with my mom multiple times, is a chicken taco casserole. Tastes amazing. What about you, Kyrie?
My immediate plans for the future include not failing sophomore year and possibly trying to get some of my short stories published in literary magazines and anthologies, if I dare so hope.
What genre do you best excel in writing?
I tend towards post-apocalyptic and dystopian science fiction.
Like Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah, stuff like that. I was always reading stuff like George Orwell's 1984, Through Darkest America, just real classics of the genre when I was in my formative stages of realizing that I wanted to write, and it just really captured my imagination, and I loved all the things that you could do with it. There are just so many metaphors for the human condition, for political introspection, just so many things like that, and it was really deep, involved writing, and I decided that that was what I wanted to do.
Have you written anything recently?
I write lots of things. I show very little of it. I have crippling self-esteem around my writing. I think all writers sort of have that a bit of a extension. We're all our own worst critic.
Like when you hand in an assignment to the teacher and you're just like, please don't read it right now.
Bingo.
Oh, no.
Dan's kind of giving me like a little prompt question here. Can you define dystopia? Well, that's it's the antonym of utopia. It's a government where nothing works as it's intended and power is concentrated and very few individuals who may not even care about the people that they're lording over. They just see them as tools. So dystopia is basically what happens when a government completely and utterly fails at everything it's supposed to do.
So everything would fall apart, right?
Well, that's it would fall apart or form a dystopia. Because a dystopia is a failed government that just keeps going and making things worse. And like in George Orwell's 1984, it's mentioned that the government originally started to become more tyrannical during a time of war. Surveillance started to increase. Conformity started to be more enforced. And it just sort of gradually progressed and snowballed into this terrible thing that they had at the time.
All right.
What about you, Sophie? Any immediate plans?
Well, I am currently working on writing, music, and being able to incorporate some of the various instruments that I play.
What might those instruments be?
I play about 7, excuse me if I'm wrong, I play electric guitar, acoustic, bass, drums, piano, violin, marimbas, and I sing, because I can.
That was correct. That was 7.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Nice.
So you'd be performing this all by yourself? How exactly would that work?
Yes, I would most likely just do acoustic. My mom does a show for the dance studio every year around Willits at the high school, and I sometimes fill in between the acts. So it's great publicity for me.
Can you give us a sample of some of your singing?
Not right now. No, thank you. I'm good.
Do any of you have a New Year's resolution that you made for 2016?
Mostly just to get noticed more by the community as a musician.
How do you plan to do that?
By playing more and being in the Laytonville High School band. It definitely is going to help with that.
What do you do in the high school band?
I play lead guitar for the beginning band.
Oh.
Yeah. We're mostly freshmen. A couple of us are, I think, sophomore and one, I think, is junior, but I'm not sure. But, yeah, we are playing a couple of sets of songs, and we're currently working on playing Crazy Train, so that's a lot of fun.
What about you, Kyrie?
You know, New Year's resolution is kind of a bit of a wacky concept for me. It's that, like, why is New Year's the only day that you're supposed to make a resolution to change something in your life for the better? Shouldn't you just be doing that as you go along? You realize, oh, hey, this isn't working, or oh, hey, this is really working well. I should do this more. Why is there just some magical day when that's when we change our life? That specific date is when we have to start. We have to wait till then. So I just sort of make, like, January 23rd like resolutions as I go along, you know?
Just changes whenever they're needed?
Just, yeah. Just constantly growing and trying to avoid stagnation.
You should always be able to make New Year's resolutions, even when it's not New Year's. You know what? Just don't even call them New Year's resolutions. They're just resolutions to do.
It's just a change.
Yeah. Change the way you see the world.
Positive changes.
Yeah. Great time.
Do you guys you said you wanted to get through sophomore year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you plan to do that?
You know, just paying attention in class, doing my homework, just generally studenting everything up, you know, trying to get some better study habits, not stay up till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's
basically defy my basic instincts as a teenager.
I understand you there, man. Yeah. I understand you there. Gotta work on that Spanish. Yeah, not math.
So, we've heard a lot about, well, we've read about some of the fears around our community and stuff like that with, you know, weather and stuff like, do you guys think that, what do you guys fear in our community?
I fear that the tyranny of 2015's horrible incidents will continue.
Why do you feel that way?
Because it sucked.
I agree with you. What about you, Kyrie?
What do I fear? Well, you know, I kind of get what Sophie's saying, where she thinks that things are just sort of spiraling out of control after 2015, and I don't really fear the events themselves, but I fear us not being able to sort of pick ourselves out of this slump and just sort of get back in the race, in so many words, and just keep trying no matter what adversity gets thrown at us, and I fear that we may lose that because it is it has been a hard year, and it's going to take some fortitude even now to come back after everything that's happened.
Do you feel like we have a community that will work together to try to get everybody back up and in the race, as you say?
I feel this community is as capable as they come to do so. We're very tight-knit, and yeah.
All right.
Yes. I believe that the housing situations in Mendocino County is horrendous. It is extremely hard to find a house in this time of year. Especially if you don't have any place to live and it's cold and it's wet.
Yes, it's very wet everywhere. The weather is definitely something that is deciding on its own right now.
It's like, okay, I'm just going to freeze and rain and freeze. Oh, it's sunning. Sunning now.
Yeah, it's kind of raining.
Yeah, it's raining. It's raining.
You've never heard that expression?
No.
We also want. Who do you guys respect? As like, do you guys have anyone you look up to as a role model right now?
Jimi Hendrix.
And why?
Because he is a great musician, he's a great guitar player, and I hope someday that I can maybe be as good as him or surpass him. That is my goal for life, currently. To be the best musician that I can be.
I think that is an actual great goal.
It's a lot of fun. And it's really easy to express feelings that way. You know, and like, I respect my parents. I love my parents. They're definitely one of the people that have put up with a lot of things. Lots of things. Yeah, they raised us. Definitely raised us. Yep. Thick and thin, you know? Tantrums all the way through.
They've been there since day one, through the diapers and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Kyrie, do you look up to anyone?
You know, first thing that comes to mind would be just artists in general, because, like, I find it almost, like, magical how they can, like, through the bounds of time, they can, like, sort of convey feeling and emotion. Just like with writers and artists, like, they can sort of convey their ideas and frame of mind when they made that piece, even hundreds, 200 years before, after their death, mm-hmm. which is really impressive. And so I kind of look up for them to that. Other role models in my life, I would say, I honestly have to say my parents, because, like, for as much as I whine and kvetch about them, they, are really great people, and they've taught me a lot about life, and, like, how life should be lived, and they have this sort of way of staying true to themselves and their ideals while coexisting with everyone, even if they don't share those ideals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to just be so impressive, and if we could all do that, I think our community, our county, state, country, and world would just be a nicer place, you know?
Yeah, I do agree with you, if everyone rather stated their own opinion, yet at the same time did it in a way that it didn't come off as
insulting.
Yes,
and
thank you.
My parents are doing that, so I gotta give them props for that.
Props for that, yeah. Hey.
I mean,
hey.
Even, I mean, they're my parents, of course I have beef with them, but underneath it all, there's some pretty amazing people.
They feed you.
And pay my rent.
And your taxes.
I don't have taxes.
Not yet, you don't.
I agree with both of you, though. I look up to my parents, both my parents. They have done a lot for me. I wouldn't be where I am today without them. I've learned so much from my dad and my mother. I respect a lot. I actually respect just about everyone around me, because everyone I've met and everything has taught me something in one way or another. So I respect them for that.
Shout out to all the latent villains out there. I respect you, because of all the crud we've been through this year, we're still rocking it, all right?
Yeah.
We're still doing things good. We're still progressing as a community of Little Town.
Do any of you guys see, like, anyone in TV or anyone like that, like the media, as someone you look up to?
Depending on the media star. I mean, usually I'm mostly into music. I usually just keep up on stats and all the music. Even in pop, I think my current favorite artist would have to be Demi Lovato, just because of the changes that she's made since the beginning.
And the soul that she puts into her music.
Also has an extremely well-done vocal range. She's
very boisterous.
What about you, Kyrie? Do you have any media?
Nothing springs to mind, but, you know, I do sort of recognize that the role of fictional characters originally is to provide sort of mirrors for what's virtuous or not virtuous, if you follow what I'm saying. And, I lost my train of thought there. Somebody else talked for like a second.
So what did you think? Did you read The Hunger Games?
Yes.
What did you think about how they made them into movies? Did you think Jennifer Lawrence?
I didn't even watch the movies.
Okay.
Everything after the second book was a disappointment.
Oh, all right.
I don't suggest watching the movies. They definitely leave a lot of things out. If you read the book, do not watch the movies.
I mean, I only watched the movies. I didn't read the books.
But,
yeah, they leave
so
out.
So getting back
so
to
much.
The fictional characters, and especially with TV and stuff, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people sort of get down on mediums like television, movies, and video games to tell stories, when I just see them as sort of the next incarnation of our natural tendencies to have these recurring legends and myths, much like Campbell's Hero's Journey, sorry. Stuttering like a madman over here.
Ah, sorry.
But what I'm trying to say is a lot of people really get down on it because of how it's presented, when it has the potential to be just as uplifting as any literature if done right. And while it is true that you kind of have to sort the wheat from the chaff, in a sense, kind of got to do that with everything. So
yeah. All right, well, one of the things that's not so big in media, but maybe since they're coming out with a new series, Hayao Miyazaki Films is Studio Ghibli is one of their, it's an anime studio that it's pretty much drawing pictures and putting them in motion, which takes a lot of time. And their movies are very inspirational, in my opinion. So they're one of my gods of the animating world.
I can't say I know a whole lot about animation at all, so I can't really speak that much in that.
Anime would be more or less like a Japanese cartoon, but it's got a lot of details. There are many of them in different genres, and, like, manga is basically, like, what would be? Like, you know, in the old newspapers where they had the comic section? It'd be like that. It'd be like comic books, but it'd be manga. And it's a different style, but also close to the same style. It's like a big cartoon movie with a lot of different, it's got history involving it and whole bunches of other tangents like gods and mysterious people. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds interesting.
I suggest Princess Mononoke to any of you.
That was a good one.
That was a very good movie. It's got a lot of feeling to it.
Dominic is so confused.
A little bit, but I am definitely keeping note of these in my head, you know?
She's doing that thing where, like, you're nodding, you're looking around. Yeah.
I'm getting what you guys are saying.
Actually,
trust me.
Actually, a while ago, me and Kyrie were collaborating, since I'm also an artist, as in I draw. Me and him were collaborating on making a manga, and I've been working on the characters.
So you say you draw?
Yeah, I do.
How long have you been drawing?
Usually I just draw for fun. It's mostly just little characters. I've been getting better at it. I'm taking an art class in school, so trying to progress and hopefully just have fun with it. It's a lot of fun.
How's the art class?
Oh, it's taxing. It's fun. You really have to be on it if you want to actually succeed in that class. Because, like, one assignment is, like, 100 points or something. So it's, ugh.
Yeah, they don't mess around with art.
Oh, no, they don't, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I can't blame you on that one. Drawing is definitely a release, and...
Yeah, go for it.
So I kind of have something, just a little topic that sprang to mind. So while we're talking about role models in popular culture, particularly with focus towards musicians and artists, like how hard it is to actually find someone who you can have as your role model and remain as your role model? Because I've idolized so many musicians because I fancy myself a singer and I sort of just style myself after particular artists, and then as I start listening to them and I do a little research into what they're actually like, they turn out to be terrible people. So, like, it feels like it's kind of hard to find a role model in today's day and age of, like, just scandal and...
I definitely see where you're coming, like, from with that one.
Like, one of the old role my old role model, or still is, Pat Benatar. Because she can play guitar and sing at the same time, and that's what I'm striving for currently. And she's short. So we have something in common.
On the radio, no one knows you're short.
Well, I know I'm short. Somebody knows.
Well, now everyone knows.
Yeah.
But,
you know.
Anyways.
Whatever.
So, have you guys heard about the skate park they're wanting to open up in Laytonville?
Yeah, I think I'm a skater. I enjoy, like, skating. I do skate night at Laytonville, so I think it's a great opportunity. I love skating around town. So this just gives me more of an area to do tricks in. So it's really fun. I think it's awesome.
I believe I've seen you skating around town, Kyrie, on your skateboard. Are you interested or at all excited for the Laytonville skate park?
I'm naturally excited for it. I think it'll be great for the community. I myself... am not that much of a trick skater because of a traumatizing childhood incident I don't want to talk about on the radio, so I just kind of drift around and use it more as a mode of transportation. But even if I don't, like, really skate in the park that much, it'll be nice to have something that's for the youth to do around here, because we're seriously lacking on that in our town and in, like, the general, like, Mendocino area that I've seen. It's just sort of lacking.
Yeah.
Climbing trees is getting boring.
Yeah, the youth has, like, nothing to do.
I mean, we're all just climbing trees or picking up driftwood.
Well, I would say that we don't have nothing to do, but we do certainly need more.
We get into habits and then we pick up bad habits along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And when you don't have a lot to do in a community beside
like
possibly
squirrel lassoing.
Go to the store, then I can see where there are definitely things that
happen. And even the store is like sometimes a mile away, depending on where you live.
Yes, even longer.
Oh yeah, it's so, like 20-minute walk. It's like, oh, I want to go get some chips, exactly. But I don't.
Yeah, but you got to think about it though too. Is it today the youth has got to the point where if we don't want to do something, we don't think we have to go do it.
Oh yeah.
So if we don't want to walk to the store for a bag of chips, even though it's probably like right there, we're not going to walk to the store for a bag of chips.
That seems like a completely rational thought process.
Definitely.
Like, unless you need groceries or you need chips right now, not wanting to go get chips is perfectly fine.
Yeah, perfectly.
So I'm in a little prompt here.
How about you, Kyrie? How would you make the world a better place?
I strive to do that towards my art, and not really, I don't have that many like really great grand ideas, so what I plan to do is to write really good books that inspire somebody else who's smarter to pursue writing as a way to make their voice heard, because I honestly don't have that many great ideas.
So basically you just want to
So I just kind of want to start the cycle a little bit.
Okay. Very
and
important
like,
part,
yeah. So my goal is just like spark as many minds as I can with my writing to get them turned on to writing as well.
We were talking about role models. How would you feel if, say, you actually did, and you will inspire people, someone chose you as their role model? How would that make you feel?
I would be very flattered, and I would recommend this person see a therapist right away. And possibly gain some more self-esteem.
Hey, man, hey.
But I don't know, I guess I would be, if I actually pulled that off, I would be like a pretty valid role model because I did what I set out to do, and...
Yeah. What about you, Sophie?
I mean, well, mostly I'm just all about writing music, so I guess I'll just try to get people to show their emotions more. Because in the world we live in, it's not really acceptable to just be like crying. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not okay to just start crying out in school. People will say, oh, she's doing it for attention and stuff.
They look at it differently.
So, music is a way of expression, and hopefully the music that I write can inspire people to be more emotional about things and show off and be more empathic and compassionate for others. What about you, Dahmers?
Me?
It's cooking the way to fuel guilt. What is it?
I'm not sure about that one.
I'm not sure either.
I just like to make the world a better place, I guess. I would...
Through food?
Yes, through food. Definitely through food. Because I want to further what I can do, and then hopefully I want anyone who decides they want to come work or anything like that, I hope to inspire them to possibly further.
So you're going to help give jobs to younger people?
Not quite younger, but possibly. You know. But yeah, those who haven't had that much of a chance as they should have gotten. In like, I know quite a few people that are good at cooking, but they never got a chance like that. So they just pretty much cook around the house. And I feel if you can cook and you like to cook, why not make a career out of it?
At least there will always be food in the house.
Yes.
That is a plus. Your husband will be happy.
Dang right he will.
Better appreciate the food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can try new things on him, too. I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm going to see if this works in the restaurant. First, you have to taste it. First, you know?
Is that what you're going to do?
I don't know, but my brother, since he aspires to be a cook also, he always gets me to taste his food. It's a little scary sometimes.
Has there been anything that you've tasted that was kind of...
rancid? Or,
he made some really bad waffles the other day.
Waffles.
So, you know, it was a good try.
Is he good at pancakes?
Yes.
People have trouble, like, flipping pancakes. Oh, I know. A lot of people just rip it in half. It's like, there goes pancake.
Oh, yeah. Like, I found my aunt, who's also a role model in cooking. She was amazing at it. She would make letters out of the pancakes, and she would flip them successfully. That's like, oh my god, you're a demigod of pancakes.
Yeah, like definitely inspiring.
It's terrifying how good they were.
In the pancake world.
Oh, yes. IHOP, here she comes.
IHOP?
I don't know, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Did I get it? Oh,
I think
yeah,
it's
right.
IHOP. I believe is it's it? IHOP, which is a pancake house
pancake
or something.
Pancake house?
You guys were mentioning something about our community and culture and everything. How would you say it's ended up being fear-based as it is?
Well, we have the cops, the popo, all around. They're always, you're taught to fear them. You're taught that they are the law. And if they catch you doing something bad, you could go away for a long, long time. So it's scary and it's fear-based because you're not really sure. Like, they may be really nice, but you don't know that because you haven't talked to them and you're scared of them.
Yeah, you tend to get, like, a feeling around cops. Like, I don't know about other people, but
better straighten my shirt out.
If I'm not even doing something wrong, I'll still kind of get the feeling like, oh, gosh.
Oh, God.
What about you, Kyrie?
So, our society being fear-based, let me think. Well, I don't know. Our generation sort of has a bit of an odd relationship with that sort of concept, because pretty much for as long as I've been alive, this nation has been in some kind of war somewhere, so I've never really experienced peacetime. So our society is kind of fear-based in that sense. And then when you look at the media and how it's portraying the whole situation, it's very sensationalistic. There's a lot of focus on the violence that goes on.
If a cop shoots somebody, it's all over the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And they're just sort of capitalizing it as tensions start to grow, more violent things happen, and they capitalize on that, and it's just sort of a never-ending cycle of things just escalating, mainly because of the media. And not all because of the media, but it certainly plays its part.
A big
definitely.
Role, yes.
But, yeah.
Terrifying.
I will have to agree with you on that.
Life
one,
is
yeah.
terrifying.
And then, as a final note, what's been happening recently with the shootings in San Bernardino, I believe? The sort of witch hunt around people of Islamic and Arabic descent sort of puts me in mind of. Do you guys know who McCarthy was?
No.
He was a senator in the 60s, 70s? 50s. And he started this whole big witch hunt because communism was the big thing today. It's basically the ISIS.
Today's yesterday.
Of the 50s. And McCarthy was just infamous for these really paranoid policies that really just hurt a lot of people that were not involved in it at all. And it was known as the Red Scare. And after the events at San Bernardino Mountain and the resulting witch hunt for those of an Islamic persuasion, really puts me in mind of that. And it's very, very worrying.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, so this little prompt here. How did our culture end up being fear-based? Would it be good to change this? And to what? Peace-based? Equality-based?
Well,
that's a bear of a question. Yeah. I gotta tell you, that's that might require some deep thought.
Oh, definitely. What does equality mean? Like, how do you define that? Is it defined by what everybody needs or what everybody gets? I mean, are you gonna distribute everything equally, or if does a bigger family get more food? Equality depends on the eye of the beholder. It really depends on what you believe it is. So, but peace, on the other hand, would mean no war, correct? Or would it
yes,
just mean less fighting? So I believe that a peace-based society would be better, but seeing as we have incredible amounts of greedy people surrounding everything and all around the world, it's very hard to get into that state of mind.
Well, I find that when people start talking about things of an equality-based society and a peace-based society, they get into the territory of absolutes that, like, either it's completely peace-based or we're not making any progress at all. And that's a terrible way to look at it, because you've got this daunting thing that requires us to completely reimagine and rebuild our culture and society. And it's a really unhealthy way to look at it, because it's a lot more manageable if you just look at it as working towards an equality-based and a peace-based society. Because then you can actually make changes, because you're never really going to achieve that. You've just got to achieve as much of it as you can.
Yeah, because nothing is ever perfect. You can strive, but you can never achieve. Like, you know, trying to get less fighting in school, that would be more peace-based among people.
And it would never truly happen. No. If you measure your failure as there was a fight, even though the fights are, like, way down,
yeah,
you're never going to succeed. But if you get the fights way down, something manageable, that's doable.
It's definitely doable to bounce back after that. It's a lot easier to deal with people. But there'll also be people who just don't like each other. You can never purely have peace. You can try, but you never can.
Yeah. No, I understand what you two both are saying. Well,
so Dr. Dahmers, what do you think?
Doctor, well then, I agree with you guys. You have covered definitely most of that topic.
Hope that's a good thing.
Yes, all right, thank definitely you. A good thing.
All right then.
Definitely.
What do you think about equality, huh?
I'm not completely sure.
Food chain. And society would, in my opinion, would be based on food chain. Higher ups go, it's prey and non-prey and predator and types that you just don't want to mess with.
Yeah. I definitely have to agree with you with the food chain. It just goes down. It's how...
Like, you know, respect lions, like father lions teach their cubs how to be fierce by play fighting with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hierarchy-ish. If you're a bigger animal, you can get bigger prey. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you are higher in the food chain.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a rabbit, you're prey for multiple animals. And it's a lot harder to survive in the daily world of animals.
Definitely agree with you on that one. All right, well, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have questions or insights about the future, making resolutions, and who you think deserves respect in our world. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? Are resolutions helpful in instituting changes in your life? Do you have a strategy for fulfilling them?
How does the future look to you? What are you looking forward to this year? How are you going to make the future better? Do we live in a fear-based society? Is this a good model for keeping the world civilized? Can you envision a different means of keeping people well-mannered?
Who do you respect? Why? Who were your role models when you were young? Do you have role models today? People say, be the change. How have you, or someone you admire, been the change?
The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion on New Year's resolutions. The future, respect, and being the change. We'd really like to hear from you.
We got a caller?
Nope. No, like nobody. Not yet. Well?
That was the sound of the phone lines opening.
Well, I would just like to state a quote that we were actually given then, and we can talk about that. I would like to choose one that Kyrie chose and ask why he chose that one. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. George Orwell. Why did you choose that one, Kyrie?
Well, first off, caught my eye because George Orwell, as I've been mentioning like every 5 seconds, is my favorite author. And but it's got a lot of truth to it. Who controls the past controls the future. That's referring to similar saying, history books are written by the victors.
Mm-hmm.
So by controlling our perceptions of the past and like how we see ourselves and how we arrived at where we are today, sort of has the power to steer us towards what we're aiming to be.
I agree with Very you true. On that one.
And like a good example of this would be the idealism often seen in American history, taught in this country, is very idealistic, and a lot of details that are a little incriminating are often omitted completely because we want this place to be seen by our own citizens as the bright, squeaky clean land of the future that's just going to fix everything.
We are the free country, apparently.
Yeah.
And if you take a look at our history textbooks, it is so watered down that you barely get the real facts anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just kids are being taught this way and they don't necessarily know the truth about history. So society's trying to shape well-mannered people when they don't really know about the past.
I'm looking at a quote now, and that kind of made me think of this one.
All right, go for it.
It says, "When did the future switch from being a promise to a threat?" By Chuck
Palahniuk.
Thank you.
I'm not really sure what that is.
I am not either.
When they changed the past.
Yeah.
That's spelled P-A-L-A-H-N-I-U-K. If you know how to say that, please call. Whoa.
But yeah, I think that when did the future switch from being a promise to a threat?
When they started to try and change the past.
I agree.
When they tried to gloss it over.
In my opinion, the past is there to learn from.
It's there to learn from, and we're actually making a lot of mistakes we did back then, mm-hmm. as we are today, because we don't fully know what happened.
Yeah. Mm.
And it is very true. The history books are written by the victors. And so it's very, very sketchy.
Yeah.
But when did the future switch from being a promise to a threat? Well, you know, it just comes back to what I was talking about earlier about how our media sensationalizes violence. I mean,
Blows things way out of proportion.
It blows things way out of proportion. It makes us paranoid. I mean, you know, going back to post-apocalyptic fiction, it's sort of implying that there really is a point where we are going to just sort of implode on ourselves, and that point may well be within our lifetime. So as we start to realize that our society is internally broken and really can't go on, the future starts to become threatening because, you know, it seems like the only way to go is down.
Yeah.
Very true.
Well, you guys, Sophie, do you have a quote that you found interesting?
Well, not really.
Do we have a caller right now? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Oh.
Please give us a call at 456-99-991.
Oops. Sorry.
There's three nines and one.
Three nines and a one.
Yeah. But please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
We're lonely.
We're very lonely.
Communities.
We're sitting by the fire and the telephone.
There's no fire here.
Roasting chestnuts.
You don't know about the fire yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see,
oh, well,
right
there's
there.
A heater. We have a heater, so we're somewhat warm. But, yeah, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Love.
So, would you guys, going back to who you said were your role models and what you guys want to achieve, what would you, did your role models play a part in, like, you, both of you said your parents. Did either of your parents play a role in what you are wanting to achieve?
Definitely. My mom is she's a dance teacher. Mm. So she works around a lot of music. And she also used to be, she's a English major, so she also has a way with words.
Oh. I wanted to call.
You're on the air, caller.
Hi, Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I love this show. You guys are wonderful.
We love you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really, such important topics that you're going at. And speaking about peace, no one talks about peace. It's never a topic of discussion these days. How wonderful that you brought it up on right at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I believe it's something that we should be aware of.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm 60 years old, and so when I was your age, I was really against the Vietnam War, and I dreamed of a world of peace.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it.
Well,
neither
have we.
It's happened for us.
Neither have we. We're still waiting on that.
Hopefully to achieve that.
Definitely.
Well, it's going to take all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's going to be you guys that lead us there. And I want you to know I've got your back.
Thank you. Cool, we appreciate that.
My name is Laurel Krause. I live on the Mendocino Coast. And we're going to be creating the Allison Center for Peace here on land. And we're going to open on Earth Day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You want to tell us some details about that? I'm frankly interested.
Well, it's just in the beginning thoughts, but we need to have the kids involved. And so how can I get in touch with you is what I'd like.
Well, you can always
get a hold of Dan Roberts, and he has
definitely a way
to get a hold of all of us.
You can always try contacting the school for support.
Yes.
So give me the name of the school and Dan Roberts and stuff like that.
Our school is Laytonville High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dan Roberts, do you have a number, Dan?
We're waiting for his number. You don't need to give it to me.
I'll figure it out a way. Is he a teacher there?
No, he's not.
You can get a hold of him at outfarpress@saber.net.
And I can is
what?
With that.
I can I'll spell that out for you. OUTFARP.
Wait, I'm dyslexic. Hold on a second.
Oh, darn.
Okay.
Dyslexia sucks.
Yes.
It's just a fact of life. OUT what?
FARPRESS. And then with the little at sign.
Yes.
No, the one with the, like, the circle around the A.
SABER.net.
Oh, saber.net.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So that's outfarpress@saber.net. Boy, that's a tough one.
Just a bit.
My name is Laurel Krause, and it's laurelkrause@gmail.com. It's Laurel Krause, Krause, @gmail.com. So it's just Laurel Krause, no spaces, no periods. If someone emails me his address and lets me know your name, what I would like to, I'm over here in Fort Bragg. So it's going to be happening on April 22nd, Earth Day. Okay. Save the date. And it would be very important to have the kids involved because you're our hope. It hasn't happened for us.
We are the grown-ups of tomorrow.
Yes,
now
we
exactly,
definitely...
Now, exactly what is this? Can you give us some details on what this is going to be?
Well, I don't want to take up too much time, but my sister Allison was 19 years old when she was protesting the Vietnam War at Kent State University. It was May 4th, 1970, and she was shot by the Ohio National Guard with live ammunition and killed.
Oh, I've heard about these, yes.
There were four students and protesters that were killed and nine that were wounded. It was in the courts for like almost a dozen years. It got settled. They regarded it as civil rights, whereas, you know, this was murder. It's really hard in the system to get any kind of justice, for sure, but certainly no redress either.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been. 5 years ago, new evidence showed up in the form of a tape recording made on a window ledge during the melee, during the shooting. And it points to the FBI doing it.
Mm. All right.
Being very involved in instigating it and then covering it up after.
Well,
yeah.
This is not new behavior.
No, we are definitely aware of it.
And everyone knew that the military did it. It was never a question. You know, but it's never been they've never been held accountable. There's never been redressed. And so I've been taking this cause to have the new evidence examined and entered into the recorded history, too, that, you know, there was an order to fire, which was denied for 40 years. Anyhow, so I took it to the United Nations last year.
Wow.
Oh, okay. That's
in Geneva.
Oh, wow. Definitely.
Yeah, and I spoke for Kent State, and they're working with us. And so I've taken outside the complete control of the United States government, which is wonderful news.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, because if they have control, then they control the story. They control the history, as you were just saying with George Orwell. You guys are doing a phenomenal show here. I hope it's recorded.
Oh, it is.
It is.
It gets recorded and
put on a website.
Yeah.
Wonderful, because... you're the future, and gosh, you're just like, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you understand the value of peace because you haven't been brainwashed.
Exactly.
Not yet, at least. Hopefully, we're not going there.
Yeah.
So the Allison, my sister, who was 4 years older, she was 19, I was 15, she stood for peace, and they killed her for that.
Yeah,
so 343 feet from the people that shot her. But that's why they did it. They would not have a protester. No, no, no.
So that makes it sound more like a fear-based society.
Well, that's where it began. Where they started shooting at us. You know, everything changed. Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially for white people. Black people, they've had it that way forever, you know.
Well, I don't think that's a very good thing, though.
No. I'm just saying, this was the first time it was middle-class America.
Yeah.
And 10 days later, they did it at Jackson State, and they killed two students there. And that's never recorded because it was two black students in Jackson, Mississippi, State.
That's just not okay.
It's how they control the narrative, and it's going to change. So I don't want to take any more time up, but basically we're forming the Allison Center for Peace here.
And
it's going to be the official opening on Earth Day, and you guys are invited to participate as you wish. The door is wide open.
Thank you. We definitely appreciate it.
Please send me the email to my email. Did someone write it down?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think all of us wrote it down.
And please write it down and let me know your contacts or whatever, who I can contact, and I'll keep you totally apprised. I promise.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Peace to you guys.
Good
luck with your endeavors.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit about resolutions and intention. And there is a difference between making a resolution and having an intention. First, I think that the year coming to an end, like December 31st, and the year beginning January 1st, and all of the celebration that goes with that is special.
Yes, so definitely.
I don't think you can avoid that, and I think it's special. However, there is a difference between an intention and a resolution, and since I didn't have time to plan for this, please forgive me, but a resolution is something at the human level, and it's forced. And for example, we're raised to believe that setting clear goals and resolving to achieve them is the key to success. I'm not talking about school here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we have goals and the schools have goals and we have to achieve those. But this is more on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So we commit to doing this. We have to do this to achieve what we want. All right. But then we look at intention, and intention is an energy. It's the energy behind the vow, which yields tremendous influence. And so let's say with resolutions stem from our human level self, like the intellect or emotions, and the intention comes from our essential nature, which accesses an energy source beyond our physical self. The intention is a projection of awareness with purpose and efficacy towards some object or outcome. So it's the difference between a force, which is resolution, gotta do, to directing a power, directing an energy, working on that. So it's like resolution. It's like, okay, this is what I have to do, and so many people fail to do that. But an intention, like with me, I had an intention last year to do something, and when I actually got to the beginning of the year, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I still had my intention. And when I spoke the word resolution, it scared me. but intention kind of gave me more freedom to get into the future. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the month, I had accomplished it. And by this year, it's been a year since I accomplished what I set out to do, because I didn't have this pressure to accomplish. I don't know if it's because we've attached so much to the word resolution, but with the word intention, it just gave me more freedom, and it allowed me to work with that force. I'm trying to see if...
Do you think resolution and intention walk hand in hand down the path to our future?
Well, it's kind of a nebulous, but it's there's a subtle difference, that's what I'm saying, between resolution and intention. And you might want to look at it and study it and read about it, and you might feel better about having an intention, a focus, rather than a resolution. A resolution seems like, okay, I have to, mm-hmm. and it has to, and whereas an intention just gives you more freedom. It opens it up a little bit more.
This is very true. Yeah.
Yeah. The power of intention, I was just reading here.
It's very powerful.
So it's like more positive. I think a resolution is a little bit too structured of a word, whereas intention is more of a free-flowing. The musician, the girl who's a musician, was saying that she likes to talk about feelings. And I read just recently that we actually don't think, that we actually feel. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's on the right track. We need to talk more about feelings, because that's how things affect us, is.
All right. Yeah. We definitely agree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Happy New Year.
Thanks for calling. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Bye.
You got 2 minutes. One quick call. 2 minutes. Get your last minute thoughts in there. Come on now.
Anybody? Anybody at all?
All right. Well.
No.
Feelings.
All right, guys. Well.
Well, then. That was fantabulous, guys. Let's do it again sometime. I love talking to you guys. It's a lot of fun to hear your guys' input.
I think this New Year's resolution was, I do believe, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, none of us really have a resolution.
No, but we have lots of intentions.
Yes.
Very many intentions.
I don't know what they're talking about with resolutions and intentions. I just do things.
Well.
He's male, that's a problem. Anyways.
Hey! Look, we have somebody.
Caller.
Oh, you're on the air.
I'm on the air, really?
Yeah, you're on the air.
We're running out of time, I'm sorry to say, so you got to make it count.
Okay, so I just wanted to say several things. Well, we were at a family gathering up in Mendocino, and we're like, driving back, and we heard your show, and it's just really cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I was just thinking about that thing you were saying about fear-based societies, and I wonder sometimes, if to have a fear-based society that isn't fear-based, if it maybe it's better if it's smaller, you know?
Yeah.
Like fewer people, just a few hundred or a few thousand.
Small towns.
Like a smaller community.
Definitely, small towns have less fear if you take a look around.
I would definitely agree with you.
Like, because when people left a long time ago, when maybe it's more peaceful, maybe it was just groups of like a few hundred people.
Yeah.
All right.
And fights, you have such a hierarchical system of control and injustice.
Yes.
Definitely. The show is just about to end, so thank you for calling.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's, and thank you to all of our wonderful callers and listeners.
Oh, yeah. We love doing this for you guys. It's a lot of fun.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Dominique.
Kyrie.
And Sophie.
Laytonville Healthy Start, Collation's Drug-Free Communities Project, is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8255.
8089 or email Jema at jemashields@pacific.net.